Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rebbe. Instigators.
Carlson, O'Reilly Smith, back to Carlson. He's got a wide open man in front, and Marchessault does not miss. Maxson pass, but it goes off the skate of Theodore and back the other way. Cody Egan now shorthanded, carries in, takes a shot and scores. Face off to the left of Hutton. Despite all of that, the Sabres are a goal away from putting a scare into these Knights. Not now. That's tipped in right in front of the net. Carlson gets a stick on it. Sabres trying to knock me the team that he gets 50. Opposer with a shot. Rebound! They draft it up. They score! Sobotka with the goal. Carlson racing against Middlestad. Middlestad gets to it first. Now the 15 seconds left. Empty net. Marchessault scores. And that'll do it. Seal the Sabres' fate on this night. Makes it 4-1.
That'll do it is right. Thank you back there to the guys. They do that for me, eh, Riv? That song brings me back to my childhood, that Sabre Dance song. Went to my first NHL game as a kid in Buffalo. So that was the song they came out to. So that song is like forever ingrained in my brain as one of like the greatest moments ever in my youth, in my hockey, sorry, I got to turn my thing up here. So anyway, Instigators, Andrew and Craig, and for those of you who couldn't make it through the game last night, those are the highlights.
Were you able to make it through the match there, Petey?
I made it through the whole match, and I made it beyond the whole match.
Good for you.
I was up till about 6 a.m.
Good for you. Well, you're telling me your little guy had
a little earache or something. Little earache last night, eh? So
maybe he watched a little bit of the game. He had nightmares.
He was listening from bed, probably. Anyway, yeah, it was a tough one. That's a tough one. Not a good showing, I think, last night. It's fair to say.
Especially
after the Arizona game. I think that was it. You want to continue to build off. You can live with losses. You can live with losses.
You can live with losses
if you're doing
the right things.
If the effort's there. Yeah. Simple
first
as
period
that.
Was one of the roughest periods I've seen in a while from the Sabres. Not good. Not good at all. Execution, work ethic, everything. I mean, give it to Vegas. They came out. They came out flying. They came out hungry. They had lost the game to Buffalo in Buffalo. They wanted to come out and I felt
like there was a little bit of
anger,
payback.
Hunger, yeah,
that
yeah.
they wanted to try to.
But you know, Buffalo has to. The Sabres have to be ready for that. You have to be ready for that. Playing in another team's building, you know that they're going to be angry and hungry, and they just weren't ready in the first period.
So a lot going on today. We got Jeremy Roenick at 10:30, and a lot we want to talk to him about. We'll actually ask him about the Mike Matheson hit and suspension. Connor McDavid set a record last night. Riv was perfectly explaining it to me earlier. We'll talk about that. Jamie Benn, Miles Wood. I sent out a tweet last night. JJ in the back missed it, so no Instigator retweet, but got a lot of love on Twitter and a lot of feedback just about that fight. I just basically said, it was so long ago, I can't even remember exactly what I said, Riv.
That's the good old fashioned throwdown with
Don't even try
Ben
to tell
Wood.
Me you don't love this. That's what I wrote.
And? How do people respond?
A lot of
tons.
Responses. We'll read some of those responses in a little bit, but we'll talk to Jeremy Roenick about that and a lot of other things going on that we're going to talk about. But let's go back to the game. What was it? Vegas that good? Sabres that bad? Combination of both?
My opinion watching, I think the Sabres were not sharp were not as good as what they should have been. They really struggled in the first period. I mean, they were terrible. I mean, the execution was not there. They were doing a lot of running around. And give credit to Vegas. They seemed to have their skating legs early. They wanted to pressure early, and they did exactly what they wanted to do. I was not pleased whatsoever with how the first goal was scored. Jonathan Marchessault, beautiful pass from William Karlsson on the power play. Not happy whatsoever with this goal. This cannot. They have to be much better.
Yeah, and you know what? We can sit here and you know beat them down, but I think if you stayed up and watched the game, I think you know what we're talking about. If you play on the team, you feel it. You definitely feel it. So take me there, Riv. Like I want to go. Take me back to the old locker room day. This was the if I was in the lineup for a game like this, I would be sitting in my stall, probably still have my gear on, like helmet and gloves off, but I would not have been as ready to take my shirt off or anything, you know what I mean? And I just would have been sitting there just kind of like tense, waiting for the coach, any coach. I mean, it doesn't matter what level you're playing at. You lose a game like this.
When you look at this, I think the Sabres kind of a little bit, they beat themselves. The first goal was a power play for the Vegas Golden Knights. It was not played very well whatsoever, which allowed William Karlsson to make a pass to an open guy in front of the net on a rush play. So it's not like they had control of it in the offensive zone. This was off the rush. William Karlsson gets behind all of our players and then is able to make a free pass to a guy who's probably the most dangerous guy on the ice for the Vegas Golden Knights in Marchessault, which just with no pressure roofs at top corner. I mean, someone has to be picked up. It was not played very well. Therefore, you're down one goal. Second goal. I mean, do I need to say more? Sam Reinhart tries to make a play at the offensive blue line. There's a turnover, and they go down shorthanded and score. Sam Reinhart needs to be a lot better. It starts with Sam at the offensive blue line. Listen, he is loaded with skills. Yes, I know you want to try and make plays, but there's certain areas of the ice where you want to try and gain possession, gain the zone, get deeper into the zone before you start doing little backhand sauce passes. These are things where you need to manage the puck a little bit better. And I think that when these guys go back and look at the film, they're going to be able to break this down and say, yeah, we got to be a lot better in these areas. Power play, penalty kill.
You said it right there. And the thing I wanted to say was, it's not like they weren't given opportunities. For the way they were playing, they were blessed with opportunities to get back in the game and just get some kind of life. Like, even if you have to win the ugliest game possible, your power play has got to step up on
eight opportunities.
I mean, like, the numbers don't lie, right? Like, we're not sitting here, like, biting on them for, three power plays and not getting any shots and generating anything. They had eight chances. So, I mean, you need your big guns to show up there, and that's...
Listen, go around the league. Go around the league right now, and you look at the teams that are having success. It's their big guys are producing. And, the Sabres had eight opportunities on the power play with no power play goals. That is an issue moving forward. The other thing is, when you're on your power play and you allow a shorthanded goal, that is a double X beside that. Listen, Rasmus Dahlin on the third goal. There was a shot pass, so Riley Smith is the one that knew that he wasn't going to put it on net. He was going to put it on the stick of William Karlsson for a shot pass. As a defenseman, cardinal rule in front of that net, if you cannot box out and move a player, the most important thing is to get the stick up off the ice, which Rasmus Dahlin did not do in front of the net. He was in good positioning, but he did not get under the stick, which allowed William Karlsson to redeflect a puck on net, and now you're down 3-0. So, I mean, these are things that can be cleaned up. the Sabres have to be better. If you want to win hockey games, everybody talks about the old cliche that, you know, it's hard to win games in the NHL. You're darn right it's hard to win games. It's very, very easy to lose games, but they're hard to win. You got to play as a team. You've got to be good on specialty teams. 5-on-5, you have to win the 5-on-5 battle, and the Sabres did none of those.
Correction, 0 for 6.
0 for 6?
0 for 6.
All right.
Said 0 for 8. 0 for 6. Does it still? You still had chances, you know, late in that game. Tweet us. He's at Craig Revay 52. I'm at Beside Craig. You can call us 803-0550, 888-550-2550. Did you have it in you to make it through the entire game? And not even the game that was going on, but just the time in general, because I'm absolutely whipped. Let's grab Alex in West Seneca. Alex, did you make it through the whole game?
No, I didn't make it through the whole game, boys. But my question is, when you see a team play well a couple nights before that, like they did in Arizona, then go to Vegas, spend a couple nights in Vegas, you know, we know what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. However, do you think that had anything to do with their effort? And I wonder how many teams have spent a couple nights in Vegas and had a similar effort.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll say this. That wasn't a guilty effort. I can tell you that much. So I honestly can't speak to that. I can tell you this. When I was in the league, I don't know what I would have done, Riv, to be quite honest with you. And I'm going to tell you
There's
this,
two different
Alex,
ways of
I am
looking
very
at it.
Happy that Vegas was not in the league when I was in the league, because my career might have ended in Vegas.
There's two ways of looking at it, right?
Instead, it ended in Worcester.
There's the coaching side of it, and then there's the players' side of it. And the players, for an example, want to go into Arizona, and they want to perform because it gives them the opportunity. Because there's a 2 days in between that you can kind of let down your hair a little bit and have some fun and bring the boys together. That being said, I'm sure that was part of the plan of the coaching staff is to allow these guys to really bond as a team. But I think all these guys need to realize that it's okay to have some fun, enjoy yourself. But I'm going to tell you right now, when you go to the rink the next day or the day after and you're preparing to play a game, you better be bringing your best game. It's okay with going out.
I said playing guilty.
Yeah. Well, listen, I mean, it's okay to go out and have some fun with the guys and spend some time with these guys to really get to know each other. And that's a huge part of the game. I think it's a very big part of the game. And you just have to understand that, you know, you're a professional. You need to know that when you go to the rink, you have to give a better effort. You have to know that Vegas Golden Knights were not happy with their game in Buffalo, okay? That they haven't been happy with the start of their season. You better know that they're going to be coming out guns a-blazing. And they did. And the Sabres were flat. And that's something that they have to learn and be better at. I mean, it wasn't one of their best games. Did they play horrible in the second and third periods? No, they started to play a little bit better, but by that time they were down 1-0 after the first. Then they give a shorthanded goal up, which, you know, your best players on your team can't be giving away the puck and then having a guy go down on a 2-on-1 and the guy shoots and scores. There's a lot of plays that the Sabres just need to be better. They need to be better. They need to keep working at it. They need to be a little bit hungrier and understand that, you know, it's hard to win games in this league.
We have another call. I missed the name. I think it's John. Jim, you're on the line with Andrew and Craig. Go ahead.
Good morning, boys. I just had a quick thought. I know the goal got disallowed, the Shea Theodore goal in the first. Are you familiar with what I'm talking about? You guys
yes.
That yeah. one?
Yeah. What
it's
about
a great
it?
Goal.
Well, two things. Number one, thank goodness a guy 30 feet away was a foot over the line. But the thing that really concerned me, and I noticed it as a theme in the Arizona game, it seemed, you know, coming out of the neutral zone that these guys are just giving them the zone. You know, they're not forcing them to dump it in and fight for it in a corner. And it seemed like on that goal, the guy skates through four players, And they just gave him the zone. And I'm wondering, what does a young team need to do on the road to clean something like that up? You can't just give these guys the zone like that.
Well, you know what? There's a few things, and you bring up a great point on that goal in particular. That was taken back because of the other player being offside. In this certain situation, Sam Reinhart is putting pressure on the puck carrier, which is Shea Theodore. He's pushing him to the defenseman, which is Rasmus Dahlin. Here's the thing. Sam Reinhart stops skating, gives this guy more space and time. On the ice, if you can make two-on-ones, meaning Sam Reinhart and Rasmus Dahlin playing Shea Theodore, I'm going to tell you right now, 100% of the time.
Okay, if you're the defenseman there, what do you want Sam?
I would be furious. Sam Reinhart.
So what do you want? You want Sam to continue to push him right in?
Absolutely.
Into? Yeah.
Why are we going to give time and space? Why would Sam just allow Shea Theodore off to play a one-on-one with Rasmus
Dahlin? Shea
Dahlin.
Theodore did a good job of bringing Dahlin to the outside, knowing there was that much space.
All right, I mean, you're giving a one-on-one.
It's not all on Dahlin. I mean,
you're giving a one-on-one.
He would have been an absolute highlight reel if that thing's not called back. But, I mean, how about a little, you know, we criticized Tom Wilson for his back check and his hit, but how about a little love in the back check, boys?
Well, that's, you don't have to look any further. Like, first of all, Rasmus Dahlin got walked on the play. He's a young guy. He's going to learn from that. And he did not play it well. But I'm going to tell you now, I would be furious right now with Sam Reinhart with the way that he played that.
Every defenseman,
you have
NHL
to pressure the puck in this league.
Gets walked
at all
point.
Teams at all times. You have to pressure the puck. When you pressure the puck, players make mistakes.
Yeah.
Okay. And now all of a sudden, Sam Reinhart doesn't want to work because he wants to sit there and play his position. Well, he should have been pressuring hard on this play, and it would have been broken up because it would have been a 2-on-1. And these are areas right here where the Sabres are lackluster in the way that they play defense.
It forces McCabe to slide way out of position. I mean, it just creates a whole mess. I think that was McCabe, right, that slid across there?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Good call.
Good call,
Thanks for the call. Instigators Andrew and Craig were just recapping last night's game. Jeremy Roenick going to be coming up with us in about 15 minutes. Probably won't talk to him about the Sabres game, but there's a lot of stuff to talk to him about. Like, how about this? Connor McDavid's record for openers.
Well, you know, he's what? Like the 10th best player in the game
shut
now?
Shut up. You know
no. Come on, bring it up.
I didn't think we were going to talk about this
right
now.
Well, we are going to talk about it. And you know what? Listen, do not take this guy
out. I feel
like
we're married, like where we're like, you know, I didn't think we were going to talk about this.
Listen,
you know,
seven games, right, Austin Matthews and John Tavares and Mitch Marner and Riley. Everybody, let's order the rings right now because we're super amazing. And now all of a sudden, McDavid's not the best player in the game. Okay, he's not the best player.
You know what?
In the
game. You were so lucky he came out and had.
It's
going to
change every year, is what you said.
Opportunity.
It's going to change every year, is what. As soon as I saw that last night, I just had a big smile on my face, and obviously I sent it to you.
I know.
And you know what? 4 points. Connor McDavid has set an NHL record, and the previous holder of this record was Adam Oates in 1986-87 season. Adam Oates had a point on the first 7 goals scored on his team. Well, Connor McDavid has now broken that record. He's the first player to factor in on all the team's 9 goals scored at the start of the season. He's a big part of this team. He is a heck of a hockey player. I don't think that he has the same surrounding as what Austin Matthews has in Toronto right now. And he seems to every single year get it done. Do you remember his
amazing
start last year?
Is it amazing or alarming? And I mean, it's amazing for the game. It's alarming for the Oilers.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I mean, this he is a special hockey player. Certainly he's playing against the best defenders on every single team, every single night. It's undeniable. Where Austin Matthews, I don't think, is in that situation.
Yeah, and I'd have to come in here today and defend myself. I knew I would about my Matthews comment or whatever, but it's
don't
not
take anything away from Matthews. I think he's a brilliant, brilliant hockey player. I think he's one of the top elite players in the game right
now.
I'm
glad he's done enough for you to be able to say that, Riv. I'm glad he's earned that. Right? He's done enough, hasn't he?
I think
you could have said that after his first game.
He's had two incredible
seasons.
Earth-shattering
analysis.
And he's had an awesome start this year.
Yeah, and all I said yesterday All I said was McDavid is not the best player in the game right now, or in the league right now. Is it why? I guess my point is, and I really didn't think we'd be talking about this right now, but I guess it's a, you know, it's a better conversation than the Sabres game last night. So, you know, I thought I'd allow you and Jeremy Roenick to pick on me about the conversation. JR is coming up in about 10 minutes. And all I said was, look at what Matthews is doing. Look at what he did last year. He might have pressed for the scoring lead last year. He might have pressed for it last year. I'm disappointed he got hurt.
Why is that?
And I'm not a Leaf fan. I'm not a Matthews fan. Because I'd like to see other guys. Like, it's not going to be Taylor Hall every year. You think Kessel's going to do what he did last year? Like, I think scoring leaders 3, 4, 5, you know, are obviously going to be interchangeable. I mean, over the years, but I'm starting to believe that the guy that leads the league last year isn't necessarily going to lead it this year. I know McDavid's done it 2 years.
Think
in a row.
Austin Matthews would have.
What was his points per game? I mean, you're looking at it right there, right? So what?
63 points last year in 62 games.
Yeah, he probably wasn't on the pace, right? So. Fair enough. But he missed 20 games. So he missed 20 games. And if I don't even want to pretend like I know what I'm talking about here. But if he missed 20 games last year in a row, maybe was his shoulder. I can't remember.
I do not know.
I can't remember what he did when he came back. If he just picked up where he left off. I know Taylor Hall missed some time. Remember, there was a scoring streak there that was cut up because of a 9-game. He missed 9 games due to injury, but then he comes right back and picks right back up where he left off. I can't remember what Matthews did. You could probably look it up. But all I'm saying is, why is it not okay to say that so-and-so is not the best player in the game right now? He's the fastest. He might have dynamic nights like he was last
night.
The way
I look at it is this. In his first year, in the league, he had 48 points in 45 games. So if he would have played the full season like you're talking about Matthews, he would have been over, what, 90 points? Around 90 points. His second year in the league, which was last year for Matthews, he had 100 points in 82 games.
Yeah.
Matthews was on high 80s. This year, or last year, he had 108 points in 82 games. Is he the best player in the game right now? It's undeniable.
He's the best scorer.
It's undeniable. Is he the best scorer or the best point producer?
Best point producer.
Okay, best point producer. Best game. Best player in the game right now. And because Austin Matthews has 16 points in 7 games, we're now going to flip-flop and say that Austin Matthews
think
is
McDavid
the best player.
Think McDavid should be making $20 million? Is he making enough money?
Well, if you have an opportunity to read the, what is it, Pierre LeBrun tweet the other day saying that
star players don't make enough money for
star
what they
players
bring
in this league do not make enough money. That's funny. That's
well,
funny
you look
to me.
At, you look around.
$12.5 million for Connor McDavid is not enough. $11 million
for McDavid in particular. Connor McDavid in particular. Okay. Basically saying, you know, 12 and a half, not enough. Should be making somewhere around 20, but the system doesn't allow it.
Why should he be making 20? If we have a salary cap in this game, so you're going to tell me that you're going to have a player on the team that's going to sign for $20 million, and that's one quarter of your cap.
Yeah.
One player.
I can see the where the argument's coming from. I mean, because of, you know, if you factor in, like, if he were to be his own entity in the league, if that even makes sense, how much would he get for his cut of jersey sales? And not just in Edmonton. We're talking league-wide.
Yeah.
TV rights, right? Because didn't Tiger Woods want TV rights for tournaments? Because all they did was promote him. I mean,
yeah.
This guy's face is everywhere. Every game of the week that Edmonton's playing, it's him, it's him, it's him, it's him, it's him. So they slam his face everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. And it's kind of like, yeah, I signed up for this. This is my fair number in the marketplace. Yeah. But then that's what comes. And you know what? I thought about this, too, when it came along with Jack. Because, you know, when you think about Jack and you think about, you know, realistically, was he a $10 million player at the time? Maybe, maybe not. Will he be? Yes. But you think about all the other things that comes along with it. I mean, and you go back to the start of this year, carted around to all the different, doing the corporate stuff,
yep.
Face of the franchise, you know, like signing autographs, yes, it's
what
part
about
of,
Rasmus
it's
Dahlin?
It's part of the job, but it's also a task sometimes for star players. I remember star players never wanted to go do that stuff because they just they had so much going on with hockey that they just, they had minimal time to go and worry about all the other stuff in their life, like family and other things, wife, whatever, parents are sick, something that, so I'm getting off topic, but I guess my point is.
So you somewhat agree with the
yes and no. I mean, I do, but that's the agreement in the CBA is 50-50 split with the players, and that's the agreement that the star players have. If the star players, you know, the top 20 players in the game, if we can break them down and categorize them, and you know, they were to separate and say we want more, well, that would create quite an issue because now you have 700 other players that are going to pummel you. They don't care how good you are.
Yeah,
you know, like they're doing it for the players. So I guess in a way.
So if you were to take Edmonton Oilers, and let's just say hypothetically that Connor McDavid is going to get paid, he's going to get the star money, so he gets $20 million. Who's your second highest paid player? If we're talking about now, people that sell tickets, we're talking about someone that's going to help you win games, who's your next highest paid player?
Yeah, we'll talk about that when we do buy-sell trade. It's great. It's a great question. The other thing we need to talk about, too, coming up with Jeremy Roenick is Kyle Dubas meeting with Nylander in Switzerland to try to get move contract talks along.
Sweden?
Switzerland. You think I'd screw that up?
I don't know. He's a Swede. Why wouldn't he be meeting over in Sweden?
Maybe.
Just wanted to
go to the
Alps.
Neutral country, neutral, you know, neutral.
All right. Think they're going to get that done?
Not if Nylander wants to come down, but we'll ask Jeremy Roenick what he thinks. Coming up next, Jeremy Roenick right here, Instigators.
We're back with more of the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
All right, waiting on JR. I guess he's on a golf course. Tough life of a hockey analyst slash celebrity slash legend slash video game legend and hopefully future Hall of Famer and friend of the show. Okay, that's a good enough introduction for Jeremy Roenick. JJ's trying to connect with him. We were just talking off air. If Jeremy Roenick had a movie, who would play him? If there was a movie about Jeremy Roenick's, you know, life and hockey career, who would play JR? But then I even went further with it. And I said, if there was an Instigators movie, who would play Craig?
Okay.
Who would play me and who would play JR?
So I have who's going to play me. I have who's going to play you.
I have all these too.
And I have a couple for JR, and you let me know. So if JR was going to do a movie, Instigator movie, what do you think about Val Kilmer?
Oh, my God! No way!
There you go.
Exactly who I wrote.
Do you like him?
Yes, that's exactly.
I got another one.
Which Val Kilmer though? Are we talking
I'm
Batman,
talking,
or are we talking? Are we talking the Saint Val Kilmer?
No, I'm talking like, what's that one where he's like Huckleberry? You know, like I'll be your Huckleberry.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
The gun, Tombstone.
I'll be your Huckleberry. I'm your Huckleberry.
How about Kevin
I'm your
Bacon?
Huckleberry.
How about Kevin Bacon?
6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. I don't think so.
No, Edward Norton.
He deserves better than Kevin Bacon.
Edward Norton.
I like Edward Norton. I like Edward Norton a lot.
I think
lot.
He's just a Val Kilmer guy. That was the first.
The Worm.
Boom.
Edward Norton, the Worm. From
okay, can I give you yours? And here's the thing. I only have one for
I
you.
I only have one for you.
I only have one for you.
I only have one for you.
Vince Vaughn.
Oh, my God. Look at what I wrote.
He is 100%. Like 100% would be you.
I swear. Riv went out in the back room. And what's more amazing about this is that Craig had to go ask, what's the guy's name from that movie?
Yeah, I couldn't remember.
He's like,
name.
Oh, I have one for you. And it's funny, I have one for you. You know who it is.
Brad Pitt?
Yeah, it's Brad Pitt. So did we just nail it?
I just nailed. We
well,
just
you threw,
guessed
you threw,
all three.
You threw Mr. BLT in there, bacon, lettuce, and tomato. But
yeah,
listen, that is unbelievable. Yeah. And you threw Edward Norton in there. Is JR on the line yet? He's golfing, for the record. I'll have you know that.
You've been calling me fat-lipped Brad Pitt for 2 years now, which, you know.
I've been calling you that since I've known you. I called you, I said you looked like Brad Pitt back when I first met you, but like not Brad, like you have the features, but you're not.
Not the cool Brad Pitt, just like a.
Not Brad Pitt from Ocean's 11. Not, you're not nearly.
Well, which Brad, Fight Club?
Yeah, after he got sucker punched in the bottom of his bottom mouth. Like, yes, you have that bottom lip.
Or about Snatch.
You know that I don't think I've ever really seen Snatch? I don't think I have.
Oh, come on.
dead serious.
We're going over to your house after work. We're going to snuggle up, get a bag of chips.
Really?
Absolutely.
You 100%.
Promise.
Okay. I've never seen it.
No hockey. No hockey tonight.
He has an accent and he's a fighter. Is that the one where he's a fighter and he goes and he just like punch, he knocks guys out with one punch? Is that Snatch?
Yes.
Okay, so I've seen bits and pieces of that. He's used as like a back alley brawler or whatever. Is that what it is?
Yeah,
okay,
he's
so
yeah,
kind of. All right. So no JR yet. We're waiting on JR, but this will be great. I'm curious to know
what were we going to talk to JR about?
Nylander, which we didn't really get much to talk about toward the end of the break there.
So you have Nylander looking for $8
million
a year.
Not Alex.
William Nylander looking for $8 million.
Not going
to
get it.
Toronto is looking to, what, 5.5, 6, you're thinking? Somewhere around
there?
Yeah,
but how long, though? Look how good this team is.
Why
right
wouldn't
now.
You want to be signing this guy to a long-term deal?
Okay, if you sign him tomorrow, where do you put him? You put him right in? You take Kasperi Kapanen out? You can't do that.
Yes, I do. Yes,
what? See, you know what? This is the problem. A guy finally establishes himself, like, you know, like that Kyle Connor in Winnipeg. If he wasn't playing with the guys he was playing with, he wouldn't be able to be the Kyle Connor that he is on another line, okay? And this kid's getting that same opportunity. He was playing on the fourth line last year, 2 years ago.
Who?
Kapanen.
No, he wasn't.
2 years ago, he's
been
like,
in the minors the whole time because
yeah,
he hasn't been able to make the
time.
National Hockey League.
Right, so he gets his – look at what he's doing. So basically what you're saying is anybody that can skate and have some skill can get that kind of success with Matthews and Marleau.
What happens when you bring in a William Nylander and put him where he rightfully should be in the right wing spot with Austin Matthews and Patrick Marleau? Then you take Kasper Kapanen and you could put him on the fourth line center or right wing position, which automatically strengthens your entire team.
You confuse me. And I'm saying
why,
that.
Why am I confusing you?
Because, you know
no, what? I'm not going to put
William
Nylander.
I know
he's earned
it because he's good, but do you reward him right away for sitting out for money and say, you know what? We understand that you left the boys hanging. And while you
didn't leave the boys hanging, there's not one guy in that team that's upset that he's holding out right now. That's part of the business. This has to do with his agent and the team. The boys on the team are sitting there. Do you not think that Austin Matthews is having daily conversations with William Nylander? That's one of his buddies.
Kasperi Kapanen would have every right to be livid. And you know what? He'd have no right, but he'd have every right, in my opinion, to be livid with that. Because here's a guy that is asking for way too much money. Okay? And he has been. And what if his team was losing? They probably would have signed him by now and brought him in, right? So here we are. Dubas is going to Switzerland, and this is what we're going to talk to Jeremy Roenick about. It's not even about where do you slot him in, Craig.
It's that
how
he
much
is going
and how
to be
long.
Back in the lineup.
How much and how long? Are we looking at a short-term deal?
No, I would think 100% you're looking long-term with William Nylander. He is at least 6 years. He has the ability to easily all day long be a 75, 80-point player in this game. He is – listen, Kasperi Kapanen is played very well on the line.
Understatement.
What do you mean an understatement? You think he's lighting
it
up?
He's got 4 goals, 6 points, maybe more than that.
He has 8 points right now.
How many goals?
In 7 games.
Four?
4 goals.
Okay, 4 goals. So 4 goals, 4 assists. I'd say that's probably a little bit to do with the smoke show that his line mates are on right now.
Yeah.
Right, safe to say, but he's also a contributing factor to that because Matthews didn't score the other night.
I don't know how many points he had last year in 39 games.
In the NHL?
Yeah.
Under 20.
Under 20? Yeah. I'd say keep going.
Okay, under 10?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nine points. This year he has 8 in 7 games.
Oh, breakout year.
So there's no breakout year here because I'm going to tell you right now.
You can smile. Craig smiled.
Kapanen is a very nice player. He's a speedster. He kills penalties. He is no William Nylander, and they know it. And if you can take a very confident, Kapanen and put him back where he should be, he is going to strengthen that fourth line, which is going to be needed if you want to have any success moving forward.
Guess what this is?
Guess on. What is?
Guess what this is. Kasperi Kapanen's contract year. How convenient is that? Hey, he's almost at his point. That doesn't faze you, doesn't mean anything, doesn't matter. I mean,
do you think that worries them?
Well, he was a first-round pick. He was brought in what, the Kessel deal, right? So, I mean, I don't think Dubas made that deal, did he? Or
no.
No, he
well,
did.
You would have been a part of it. You would have been a part of it,
but,
I would
but
think.
So, I mean, I guess, not. I guess still, you either like what you have in a prospect or you don't, and you're either going to move on from him at some point or you're not. And I guess if he made the team this year, I don't think you make the team and earn a spot on that line just because Nylander's out. I think you have to play your way into that spot. And I think he obviously did that, and he's been able to maintain that spot. So, you know, now I'm sitting here thinking they, you know, like they're in a very interesting situation because they need defense.
Yeah. I mean,
what are you smiling?
Well, I mean, they are going to be in a train wreck situation very soon. Like when you're talking Austin Matthews alone, okay? Austin Matthews right now leading the league, 10 goals, 16 points in 7 games. He very easily right now moving forward is going to be in the $12.5 million, possibly more. Okay. Possibly more. Now you have the president and the GM has talked a lot about, listen, I mean, if we want to be successful here, we need our star players to take a little hometown discount so we can all fit them in and we can all be happy. Well, that doesn't happen. That's not happening for certain
guys.
Wait,
is that an unrealistic request by El Presidente Shanny?
Nice try, Shanny. But you know what? I mean, the agents in this business are not too keen on guys, especially elite guys that can set new bars. They're not very pleased with the hometown discount thing. So you look at that. You look at the Mitch Marner. Mitch Marner is like, what does he have? 10 points already this year in 7 games.
They're tough. They're in a tough spot.
You still have to sign Jake Gardner, who's going to be an unrestricted free agent, who's only 28 years old. He's coming off a $4 million deal. What is he going to make? Tons of money. They are in big trouble in Toronto. I do not know how they're going to do this. And it's going to be fun to watch it all unfold. But, I mean,
I don't know what to say. I mean, it's a sticky situation. I mean, but in my opinion, obviously, at some point, a trade. Andrew, Craig, Jeremy Roenick on the golf course. He probably had a 4-putt through his club, and but we'll get him on the line. He's good for it.
Yep.
We'll talk to him about Connor McDavid's record. What we're talking about here with William Nylander's contract situation. Apparently, it's reported that Kyle Dubas will meet with Nylander in Switzerland and try to move contract talks along. You still haven't given me a figure and a term.
From what he's done in the past already, I would probably try and I would be sticking to my guns if I was Kyle Dubas. And what's happening, certainly with the team in particular, you have guys that have skyrocketed into, you know, point production. You have a player like Kasperi Kapanen, who has 8 points in 7 games and 4 goals, who's a +5. Who's making how much money? Do you know how much he's making? $1 million, maybe?
If
he's
$890 something.
$890. Why are you in any rush to bend over backwards for William Nylander? Why are you bending over backwards for William Nylander? This is they're doing their due diligence now to see where the Nylanders are at and their agents. And you know what? If this meeting goes not the way it should, then I think now Toronto has to look at possibly moving.
Okay,
now,
let me back
because
the
if he's not signed by December 1st, he can't play in the National Hockey League.
I want to back the conversation. I'll make this a bigger conversation. We only have a few more minutes before we got to get out of here, but I want to. You brought up something. You said it's a business, and nobody in that locker room right now is angry with William Nylander. And I'll agree with that.
None.
But we also talked about Shanahan's comments and possible request of asking players to take hometown discounts to maybe put your team in a best situation to win. We've seen it done with players and teams before in all sports,
yep.
And it's worked.
I did it.
Why is that so? Yes, you did.
I did it, and I got traded after my best year in the National Hockey League. I'm just giving you an opinion of guys that went and took discount,
okay,
not listening to my agent, and then all of a sudden, a year later, gone. So my thoughts to take the hometown discount. Shanny, you can take
thing.
That
so
and shove it.
Well, yeah, good thing I'm not a GM. But however, I think you would be today's day and age in today's game. I think you would be, and I see your face. I see because you know exactly where I'm going with this.
I don't.
I think you'd be one of the top 10 toughest players in the league today.
Oh yeah.
I do, quote unquote, Dr. Craig Ribe. I feel like that is also part of the combination in winning. He brought up Detroit in the conversation. You can't think that every GM in the league doesn't hope that players would buy into that philosophy a little bit, right? No, obviously not. I can't win this man over.
Yeah, but when they were in Detroit, there was no salary cap. So they brought in Brett Hall.
Yeah, I know.
Hall of Famer.
Going.
They brought in Luke Robitaille.
5 minutes
they
for
had,
fighting coming
I mean,
up next. Keep going. Keep rifling off names. Dominic Hasek, Chris Chelios. They had Lidstrom. They had everybody else.
They brought in a super team. They won a Stanley Cup. Good
5 minutes for fighting coming up next year. We had a doozy last night. We'll tell you all about it. And I just don't think there's a place for this in the game. Coming up.
Liar.
Boston. Both guys, 5 minutes each for fighting! 5 minutes each for fighting!
Yeah, so if you can't see this because you're driving around in the car or the truck or whatever, Rivs, they had Rock'em Sock'em GoBots going there, Rock'em Sock'em, whatever they call them, and Rivs had... Well, we were supposed to... We screwed this one up. You guys want to rewind the tape? We were supposed to call this, eh?
This is what we call a battle. These guys, I love this.
You do, huh?
Just, oh, I love that. I love that so much. I miss that part of the game. Look at all the fans. They're still sitting in their seats. No one's clapping. No one cares that there is a huge... Actually, everybody loves it.
It's funny that you say that because somebody once said to me, or I read on Twitter, and... He's actually going to join us on the show tomorrow at 11:30, Matthew Barnaby. So it'll be a great guy to talk to about this. But he said there are two times, I read a tweet that he wrote, two times during a hockey game that every single person in the rink is on their feet. National anthem and a fight. Because in a fight, when a goal is scored, you always have fans from the other team in the building, regardless of whether it's home or away. It doesn't
That's
matter.
Right.
So people aren't standing up cheering for the opposing team scoring or the opponent scoring. But in fights, everybody's on their feet.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a huge part of the entertainment
of
the game.
But what I love about this,
I loved it.
And I like
this type of fight. You have two guys that are, they're not 6'6", 270 pounds, and all they do is train in the summer to kill people. You have two guys that can play the game. They're key players on their team.
I get it.
And you got two guys that go to battle, and I love it. I mean, this is great.
Yeah, I always feel like it's Jamie Benn, though. It's like the team's, second best player. I'd say best all-around player. Obviously, their captain. But I always feel like it's Jamie Benn. Like, I mean, where are the other guys?
Because how many guys are actually like this? How many guys are like Jamie Benn in the league anymore? There's no guys that are the... the full package.
They
Jamie
let him go,
Benn
man.
Is the full package.
We are watching this. Miles Wood was throwing punches when Ben's down on a knee. And
a little slippage. He got back up.
Yeah.
These guys were throwing haymakers at each other.
I saw the code talk too. Everybody was talking about code. Where's the code? I mean, in a fight, listen, when these two guys right now, it's like you mentioned, two guys like myself that squared off. I mean, there's not as much, I guess, rabies involved. You know what I mean? These two guys right here are like rabid dogs where You know, the other fight is a more technical kind of a, you know, feel them out kind of a fight sometimes, you know, depending on who the fighters are.
Yeah.
But these guys were just like, look, I'm pissed off, you're pissed off, and we're going.
Ben was definitely the aggressor. Miles Wood seemed like he was kind of a little bit standoff until Ben dropped his gloves. He knew that he had to. These are two guys that they went at it. This is a great, great bout. No one got injured, thank God, and we just moved forward. And it was, you know, two guys battling it out. I liked it.
Another fight last night in the game. I don't even know who it was. I mean, Matt Calvert. So, I mean, this has got to be, you know, like pillow fight.
Nope, Matty Calvert's a tough little guy. Tough little guy.
Well, do the call on this one then, Riff.
I don't know who was.
I don't know who he fought. I didn't see.
He went
this.
After. I see Matty Calvert went after that defenseman. So I don't even know who this who he's fighting.
Okay. Well. Frederick.
Frederick Clayson, yeah, okay. Which I do not know, so and Matty Calvert gave him a quick little beating.
Quick little beating. We'll see if Jeremy Roenick is up for a beatdown because we're going to tell him who we think would play him. And who'd you say again? Val Kilmer. Who would
I'm
play
going about.
You know, based off that conversation and sparked a lot of interest, people said who would play Marty. I mean, Craig and I were doing a thing, if you're just tuning in, you know, if there was an Instigator movie, it started with who would play JR in a JR movie, and I advanced it more to Instigator movie.
Yep.
And, you know, you got to factor in Marty Biron. I'd get your thoughts on who would play Marty Biron in an Instigator movie when we come back. We'll ask Jeremy Roenick if he ever answers. He's on the golf course. I do know that. He did tell us that. So we'll be right back. Instigators, hour number two, coming right up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.